Welcome to Beyond the Boards, your go-to podcast for all things related to the exciting world of digital out-of-home advertising. I'm your host, Patrick Brennan, here to take you behind the screens and into the inner workings of our fascinating industry. On each episode, we'll hear from the visionaries, creators, and analysts driving this fast-paced industry forward. We'll talk about emerging technologies, creative campaigns, as well as strategy, measurement, and insights. The goal is both to entertain and educate anyone who shares a passion for digital out-of-home advertising. So sit back, relax, and get ready to go beyond the boards. Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Season 2 of the Beyond the Boards podcast. I'm here with Mark Porter. Mark is a fairly new dealer, a lot newer than the majority of people. You're the newest by far in terms of the stage of development that you're in of anyone I've ever had on this podcast. So with that, Mark, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about yourself, your network, where you're at, and things like that, just to kick things off.
Patrick, thanks for having me on. I didn't realize this was episode 1 of season 2. So Gateway Digital Media Group is the name of my dealership, my company, and we just really got going in January. I mean, we did the training in November, December, got going in January as far as prospecting. Jeff Dewey came out in February. And as of right now, I've got commitments for 47 screens, most of them installed. I've still got a few more to finish up, to catch up, but we're located in the metro east of St. Louis, so we're on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River. Pretty good sized territory. Pretty excited about it and the prospects. Planning to eventually build out to 200 digital billboards, but want a nice eclectic mix of hosts and advertisers, and digital marketing customers. I got into this, getting out of corporate life. I think of myself as a corporate refugee. Spent 25 years in corporate America as an ops and engineering executive, and spent 10 years in the Navy before that. So I think of this as my third and final stop on the career.
I love that, and thank you for your service in the Navy. I know we all really appreciate that. What was the moment for you? You mentioned you're a corporate refugee. What was that moment where you're like, all right, I don't want to work for someone else. I want to do my own thing. What was that moment like? And, was it kind of like a light bulb moment, or had it been progressing over time?
It had been progressing over time. About the time the pandemic hit back in 2020, started thinking about, as corporate life was evolving with COVID, is this something I really wanted to do? And then what are my other options? And so my wife and I have been talking about different ideas and different options. And somewhere along there, my job kind of transformed into more of a consulting role, contract work, instead of, normal W-2 full-time employee. Then in 2023, I finished up a contract and pointed myself at evaluating franchises. And I looked at, a dozen different franchise models, and connected with you, Patrick, and Encompass, and really decided this was pretty cutting edge, right where businesses need to be, small businesses, local, all of that, connects with me, resonates with me. We all know where print media is going. We all know where, the traditional billboards are, going to go. And it just everything lined up and felt good. So that's how we ended up making this decision.
I love it. And I love the journey that led you to us. And I'm very thankful that we have you on board as a dealer. And I'm not just saying that, as lip service. We're very thankful. You've done some incredible things. And as you alluded to kick off this recording or this podcast. So I know, even like you said, we worked together in the sales process before you're ever a dealer, but with where you're at now, as you mentioned, you're already basically to 50 screens. And I know you're planning to grow beyond that. But what was the point where, you were going through training or starting to develop your network where you decided to really ramp things up? Because you've grown exponentially fast. You've grown really fast. And I'm just curious, what was that point where you're like, okay, I really want to take off and build this into something really quickly?
Well, I think for me, having started up other businesses, large businesses, and understanding what it takes to ramp up a big business and applying that to a smaller business, people have asked me, why? And why would I go after hosts this way? Why would I do that? And it was strategic. It's intentional. Because when I walk into an advertiser, I don't want the advertiser to be able to hesitate. I want them to have to say, oh my gosh, you're where? You've got how many? So they don't have a choice, because they want to be where I already am. They absolutely want to be in front. I've got advertisers calling me. I'm connected with a couple of insurance agents right now. Both of them saw a screen and called me. And so I know I've already got them hooked. I've had contractors call. I haven't landed them all, but I've had contractors call me. The one group that I haven't had call me yet is big group is legal. So I'm waiting for that first attorney to call, but it'll happen. And I'm going to be calling into pretty near term. Because this 50 is where I said, okay, I'm going to pivot and I'm going to make sure that I've got some balance between advertisers and hosts. Keep growing, but make sure that I'm also landing advertisers so that this thing starts to monetize and sell funds.
Absolutely. And, and I'll dive into the advertising side here in just a bit as well. But even as you're building out your network and you have these advertisers calling you on the front end, obviously, like you said, you started in January. So they had to be, 3 months or 3.5 months or less that you've had this one of those screens up that someone's seeing you. So I like the fact that you're saying, okay, if I'm going to do something, I'm going all in. I'm going big. Go big or go home. I'm the same way. I think that's a good mentality to have in anything. Don't dip your toe in the water. Dive in. Go for it. Might as well do it as best as you can do. So I get a lot of questions on this, what's the right time to go after advertisers? When, what are the strategies there? And I give people a lot of different answers because there's so many different answers. My exact question is, you've had advertisers call you, but you even mentioned, I'm waiting for someone in legal, like an attorney, to call me. What is that strategy for you? You said you're getting to 50 and kind of pausing and changing your focus, but what is your strategy in terms of building out the ad revenue side of your business and how to target them and things like that?
So my full territory, when we originally designed it, laid it out as 5 zones. I further broke that down into a target for each. I've got some small towns where I'm going to land 5, got some medium size, 20 and 25. And so as I kind of round out whatever my goal is for out of this 50, in a given area. And then that's when I'm looking to make sure I've at least got some level of ad build out. And by the way, I'm learning, this was kind of a change in the strategy. Instead of separating, hosts and advertisers as two completely separate groups, I've modified my approach to think of hosts as advertisers, right? Which is great, right? Hey, host, you're already on the billboards. Why not tell me, instead of being on 5 screens, I want to be on 10, I want to be on 15, some number, and I discount my advertising. Well, every dollar is green and it spends the same. So converting hosts into paid hosts has been part of that, pursuit of advertising.
Do you mind diving a little bit deeper into that, right? So you said you're going and converting hosts, which in our model are generally not viewed as massive revenue generators. But like you said, every dollar is green, right? So it's all the same. It all adds up the same. What is the point in your setup with them or your relationship with them? Is the screen already up? Is this before the screen's up that you're bringing up them being advertisers as well under the paid host model?
Most of them, the screen's already up and their ads already running for a month or, 6 weeks, something like that before I approach it. But there have been a few hosts that I start off as I'm approaching you as a paid host. There was a steakhouse, Gaucho's Argentinian Steakhouse, grand opening. He was an experienced chef. He'd opened 4 of the restaurants in the metro area and was just opening this next location. And I approached him. He already understood advertising and marketing. I could tell from his digital footprint. And he agreed. He said, if we can delay just for a couple months, let me get some cash flow going, I'll sign on as a paid host, and we'll discuss and decide how many screens that is. Well, he grand opened. I installed his billboard. It's a big 65-inch screen, and I literally installed it the first day he was cooking. it was just luck of the draw that it worked, that schedule worked out like that. Because his opening had been delayed several times. He'd been behind schedule on, and anyway, that one installed a week and a half
ago. So it sounds like it's kind of a mix of reading the situation in terms of time that you're approaching that. And you said something else interesting to me right there. So you mentioned that you already knew, based on his digital footprint, that he would be pretty open to having this level of conversation. What does that look like, and what are you looking for on the front end, and how much research do you do before approaching a host, advertiser, whatever it may be, before approaching a business?
It depends on the kind of business. As far as how much research, I always look, do they have a website? You know, what does their Google business profile look like? What's their star rating? How many, you know, 5-star reviews, 1-star reviews, how many reviews? Similar review at Facebook, just take a look, right? Is it a whole bunch of pictures and not a lot of comments and information about the business, or is it very balanced, right? Where, hey, they're communicating, you know, who they are, what they're about, so that you get a feel for the company with pictures and, you know, happy St. Patrick's Day, happy, you know, Mother's Day, you know, things like that, stuff that really doesn't tell you anything about the business. It just makes the Facebook page look active. And then I've run all the way to the other end, right? I had a host that I wanted to be a host. He doesn't have a website, doesn't have a Facebook page, and as it turns out, he doesn't even have an email address. Okay, that's not going to work. I've learned in these first few months how to recognize a business to walk away from. And that's an example. Somebody that can't even get to the very, very most basic thing, like an email address, it's going to be impossible to get them ramped all the way up to managing an indoor digital billboard. And then I, you know, carry it to another extreme, right, where I go to the, you know, Secretary of State website, look up, do research. The mining, okay, so Patrick, you and I were talking very briefly, 10 locations. That's huge for me. I want all 10. So I walked in there knowing the owner's names, knowing the general manager's names, all of the addresses, all of the locations, at least some basics about the totality of that, because I want to land the 10. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to take a chance that I'm not going to get it. Those 10 plus the two other auto repair centers that I already have are going to open the door. I'm going to walk into auto dealers, and the auto dealers aren't going to be able to tell you. They're going to be able to say, yep, I want to be on all 60 of your screens. And the gold ring in the middle is knowing that you've got these 10 mining key locations.
You're dead on. And the strategy there is, you know, phenomenal in terms of how you're laying that out. When it comes to the advertisers, so now just to kind of shift gears just a little bit, in terms of the advertisers that you're attracting that have already called you and the ones that you want to target, what is it that you're doing with your network? I know there's geographic things that you've been mentioned, having, you know, screens in different zones and things like that. It makes perfect sense. What outside of that, or maybe paired with that, are you doing in terms of finding the right host locations to then attract some of those higher level advertisers that you want to bring on board over time?
So I'll use this another example that I'm kind of in the middle of. Sporting goods. So I've got a plate against sports. I'm working on a golf equipment retail store. Well, to make sure that I have a very strong conversation with those advertisers, I already have 5 golf simulators in my network. And one of them is owned by the 2020 PGA Pro of the Year, Teaching Pro of the Year, Dan Palaus. Okay, that's great. I love that. And so it really raises the credibility for me to be able to talk to these advertisers or potential advertisers to say, hey, I've already got these locations where I know you want to advertise. And then filling that out, all right? I land the first one, and then that's going to, you know, make the, you know, going after some of the pro shops, the you know, golf courses. And again, it may be more of a combination where I go after them both as a host and as an advertiser in these pro shops to so that the screen goes up and it's already a paid host self-funding. And so I tend to think strategically like that as I'm, you know, putting these pieces of the network together.
That makes perfect sense. And that's well said. And even just thinking about like a golf simulator, right? Who's going to be going to a place like that? It's going to be a lot of times, you know, obviously not only people that have disposable income, but business owners. You know, when I think of people who golf, I think of a lot of business owners or people doing business together, even if they're not the owner. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So I love that. And I just really, really want to reiterate that point to some of the current viewers listening or prospects listening. When you're building out your network, think from an advertiser's perspective, based on everything Mark's saying, and kind of build your network almost like backwards. And it's not literally, but think long term to, you know, accomplish your short term goals to get to those initial long term goals that you want to, you know, accomplish.
Just to add a thought there, as some of the dealers, right, we're communicating via text and so forth here, definitely thinking about who wants to advertise in a given location. I don't worry as much about foot traffic or dwell time. I do pay attention to them. I'm aware of them. But I think more about the strategic connection. Is it a small business owner walking in? Is he going to walk in once a month? Is he going to walk in, you know, three times a week? And then what is not really, if he's walking in three times a week, I don't care how long you stay. Because he's going to see the full loop over the course of a month.
For sure. That is very good advice. I've even seen a situation come up where a dealer called me and said, for based off exactly what you're saying, hey, Patrick, there's this gem with it. And the way they let it off was kind of negative. Like, there's well time. You know, I don't know even what it is. And the traffic count's really low. They only have, you know, maybe 100 people in a day, maybe even a week, only a couple hundred, right? And they start giving me more context as they're talking to me. It turns out it's a private, you know, like workout set up to where it's a ton of very influential and business owners and those types of people in the community. I'm like, doesn't matter. Who cares about the dwell time and traffic count at that point? To your point, if you're in front of those people, throw all that out the window, because that is who you're ultimately trying to reach anyway. And other advertisers will see that. And more importantly, you'll reach the people, the business owners in the community in real time. So very good advice there. Really appreciate you going through that. With you building quickly, right? When you do anything, there's always going to be hurdles, challenges, however you want to term that. What are some of the challenges that you faced and how have you overcame them?
Well, installing, and I'm my own installer. So finding that balance between, from a scheduling standpoint, between prospecting and following up with the prospective hosts and the so forth and installing the screens, plus managing through ads and the portal and all of those things. And it's just finding that schedule and finding the routine. I certainly, you know, would recommend to anybody, find your routine. Be efficient. You know, when I leave the house to go prospect in an area, I'm going to that area and I'm going to be in that area. I'm not going to drive, you know, from one extreme to the other. When I go to install, like last Wednesday, I put three installs back to back to back and hung three screens in one day. And so every chance I get to do that sort of efficient work is a big part of making sure that's true. And that in those first few weeks, it was, you know, I hate to use some kind of crude reference, you know, between a monkey and a football, but something along those lines comes to mind those first few weeks, the way I feel about it, reflecting on it, because there's definitely a lot of efficiency that I've gained in just these first few months.
Absolutely. And even when you talk about strategy, obviously we talked a lot about your long-term strategies and things like that, but on the day-to-day, you're implementing strategies every day and make sure you don't waste any time. That is so important. Whether it's this business, anything, you have to make the most use of your time. And it drives me nuts wasting any sort of time or being disorganized or anything like that. So I love the way you attack this on a day-to-day. Something I'm curious about, are there any in particular resources or support elements from the Encompass team that you have found in particular really valuable to you in helping you get things up to speed?
Well, I mean, the creative team is awesome. And that's been really, really valuable. And again, there's an efficiency there, learning, you know, how to collaborate closely with them to get a great looking ad out the first time, and not have to go back and, you know, redo. Because those first few weeks, I'm like, okay, so that was all on me. My wife is honchoing the ads, so we've definitely gotten better about that. But the creative team's awesome. And frankly, everybody has been great to work with. So Sean and Francesca and Mark Chacon and Ariel have been, you know, awesome to talk with and get to know and work with. And really, honestly, it's the seams between the different tools and figuring out how to use them all in a complementary way. How to make sure that the billboards aren't really viewed as a separate product, that the billboards plus, you know, SMM and GBP and OTT and display ads are complementary, and that we can help the small business owner understand that, right? Because right now, the small business owner, I get going and I can tell, right? Their eyes glaze over because they don't understand what I'm saying. So that's been, you know, something to do a better job of connecting. And I think Sean has done a great job, at least with me personally, to give me a lot of education and how to think about, you know, how to sell those
products. Absolutely. And anyone listening to this, if you haven't listened to the podcast I did with Sean, highly recommend. You'll understand just how thorough he is and how well he articulates some of the stuff Mark was just talking about. But just on a question about that, Mark, if you don't mind taking me through a couple of things. So you've had some of these advertisers that called you, or a couple of them, get on a call with Mark Chacon as a member of our digital marketing team. Take me through that process of when they call you, how are you leading them into that call with Mark? And how effective have those calls been? And, you know, if you don't mind just kind of adding some context to that, if you will.
So insurance agents and both of them and the and it's State Farm. I don't think we can avoid, you know, sharing that. But anyway, so it's a national brand. They've got a great video presence. We all know what those ads look like on TV. And so sitting down with them, right, we start off knowing that. So how are we going to add to that? How and so that's what goes through my mind. Mark and I talked about that ahead of time. And so I sit down with these agents, and they saw the digital billboard. So their interest was in being on a billboard. And so my first conversation without Mark, you know, part of it was to make sure they understood that I represent a full digital marketing agency, and then talking about all of the different tools at my disposal, but recognizing what they already have in place. They have a great website in place. They have social media management already in place. They have social media advertising already in. All of it coming subsidized from the national. Where they don't have is these streaming videos, pre-roll, OTT, some geofence display ads, you know, potentially. And so talking about, you know, making sure that they know that what I'm bringing to them is local brand awareness of their agency. I'm not going to educate anybody on State Farm insurance. That's not going to happen. But educating them on this agent and their address and their what they specialize in and what they're good at to a local community, I can do. And so then pre-laying the foundation with Mark Chacon. So then I say, hey, let's schedule this webinar so that Mark can meet you and talk to you, so that as we get to the, you know, making a decision and launch an ad campaign, he understands what you're going for. And it'll be working on the other end, and you can get to know him a little bit as well. So we get on the webinar, and Mark does his thing, and he does a great job. After the first one, agent looked at me and said, "That's exactly what I thought we were going to meet and talk to." I said, "What?" She said, "Basically a computer nerd." but it wasn't negative at all.
Right.
Totally positive. She was blown away, and she verbally committed to an OTT campaign to add on to the billboards. And she signed up for 30 billboards. So basically half my network. And so she's, you know, I think she's going to be great. She's going to be with me for a long time as an advertiser. The other agent wasn't quite as, you know, he's bigger, and I think he's going to get there, but it's going to take a little bit longer, a little bit more work to sell him on all of the, because we put together, Mark and I put together a little bigger package for him with different tools in it.
That makes sense. And yeah, I'm just laughing because I'm going to tell Mark and he's going to laugh too, because he'll love that. I mean, it's a good thing, right? It's validating in terms of, you know, knowing what he's talking about and making people aware of that. But yeah, that makes perfect sense with that process. And I appreciate you taking us through that. Something that you have a question about as well, right? On the front end, maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't know if you come on day one, call yourself a salesperson, right? I think the majority of people I meet with don't say that they're salespeople. They don't say they're very comfortable doing that. Please correct me if I'm wrong in that sense, but that's the number one thing I hear from people is like, oh, I have to sell? I'm going to be selling in this business? Or even have dealers like, I don't want to do sales. But I mean, I don't come from a sales background. I'm in sales now. And I view it a little differently in the sense that I just talk to people all day, happen to have some cool stuff to talk about. But where I'm going with this is, what is it in the process of going, you know, like you said, from a corporate refugee to now starting your own business and having to basically be involved in sales of the business? How did you get comfortable with that? And what's that been like, you know, in that transition?
So, and I'll admit, right, confession being good for the soul, when I was staring down the barrel of the level of cold calling that I was, you know, thinking I was about to, you know, have to embrace, it was intimidating. And I was definitely not comfortable with it. I did what I knew how to do. I sat on the board of directors for several chambers of commerce over the course of my career. And so I'm comfortable with chambers of commerce. So I met with several of them. I got 10 in my territory. And I met with several of the executive directors and used that as a starting point to get some warm introductions, some warm referrals, and then use that to become more comfortable with the idea of prospecting. And then with Jeff Dewey's help coming out for a week, I'm not quite ready to say that I love cold calling the way that Jeff loves to cold call.
No one loves it as much as him.
But I also understand that when I walk in, you know, armed with what I now know and armed with the product, that for the most part, people, it's a warm reception. People, once they realize, once they get, you know, over that shock of you're walking in and you're saying what to me? Once they get past that and they embrace and start asking questions, when they start asking questions, I know I've got them. I've hooked them. And then it doesn't land 100% of the time in that scenario, but it's, you know, the likelihood is very, very high. So, you know, I'm getting to where I'm pretty comfortable with the cold call, you know. I don't do it for fun the way Jeff does, but I think he'd cold call his wife every day if he, you
know. and when you say cold call, you're talking about walking into these businesses as host partners for the most part. Is that what you're referring to on the cold call side?
Advertisers too.
Advertisers as well.
Gotcha. Advertiser, that's not necessarily walking in. That's a phone call to try and, you know, as a cold introduction. So yeah, both.
Absolutely. Well, that's good insight. And so with those being, like you said, they're kind of the same, and especially with how you're doing it and having upsells to host or paid host, however you want to term that. What is the conversation difference in talking to host versus advertisers? Is there, obviously there's a little bit of a different focus just from the onset, but tell me a little bit more about your approach to speaking to an advertiser versus a host. What is that like?
So the host, I tend to try to talk to the owner, the business owner, because I know that's who I'm going to have to eventually get to in order to hang a screen. With an advertiser, I know that all I really need is the office manager, the marketing manager, right? The owner is going to be influenced by their expert. Well, so then therefore now as a business, I can talk to a business owner about small business ownership as a way to build a bridge, but to build a relationship. As a marketing manager, I'm only talking about how I'm going to increase your throw, how I'm going to increase, you know, your access to the clientele and the customers that you want. And by the way, the first, you know, it's kind of a question. It's Q&A period, right? With that marketing manager, who are you trying to get to? What help do you need? You know, and let me tell you if I can get to them or not. So
that means once
and who you're trying to get to, and a little research ahead of time, I can come up with a pretty good guess. You know, walk into an insurance agent, you know, they're trying to get to homeowners and automotive owners. That's it. They're not trying to get to renters. They're not trying to get to, you know, people that ride the bus.
I like that. And when you're speaking, you know, to hosts, are those things you bring up as well? Because you're transitioning some of these hosts to advertisers, or, you know, asking them directly, hey, are you trying to reach a certain geographic area where I have screens? Or are you asking them certain demographic or both?
Usually I'm focused on the geographic. where do you think you need to draw people in from?
That makes perfect sense.
So a good example there. I'm talking with an electrical contractor who is also a dealer for whole home generators. Well, their dealership happens to be exactly the same as mine. It's a 50-mile radius around their location, which is not too far from the center of my dealership. Well, okay, so your need to advertise is basically everywhere I've put up a screen. So that's the conversation. And because I listened to understand their dealership and where they can and can't go as a whole home generator, you know, company, it gives me a lot of leverage to say, hey, you need to be where I am. And everybody needs a whole home generator out here.
That makes perfect sense. So it's that consultative approach and being very inquisitive and understanding their needs before you ever walk in with a pitch or something like that. You're really getting to know them and what they're looking for. That way you make sure you're actually serving them as well. So I love that approach. So thank you for laying that out. And one other question I did have for you, obviously with where you started, where you are now. And first off, congrats, Mark. I mean, it's phenomenal to witness what you've done. Going from zero screens, like you said, in January to now basically 60. You're really close to getting 60 after these couple of, you know, bigger locations with chains, like you said, Mining Key. And I know you're talking about a mailbox location as well.
Yep.
And if you don't mind, give me just a little bit of advice that you would give to someone that's brand new, day one, starting out as an Encompass TV dealer, maybe things that you did well, maybe things you wish you would have done, things like that.
Get comfortable with the cold call. Practice the pitch. The other thing is make sure that you are funded. That don't make it a short-term decision that's going to hurt you in the long term because you say, well, I can't afford to put that screen up, or I can't afford to put these five up. Be prepared to hang screens. Trust that the cash will flow soon enough.
That's really good advice.
No penny pinch up front.
That's such good advice. That's something, just to be transparent, I've seen people basically make mistakes on is they get scared. And I mean, entrepreneurship is scary as hell, just to begin with, much less, like you said, you know, you have an option on a day-to-day basis. Do I spend more capital today into my business on the front end? Maybe you haven't even made a single penny yet. Should I go put up another screen? Should I go put up another 10 screens? And you've went and put up 50, almost 60 now. And obviously you have some ad revenue coming in from host advertiser stuff, which is good, but still just the beginning, right? And you're still just like, I'm doing it, right? So I love the fact that you said that. And I lied to you. I do have one other question for you, just out of my own personal curiosity. I apologize. I won't hold you hostage forever. But where you're at now, you mentioned, hey, I'm putting up, you know, and now you're about to be at 60 screens. You know, take a pause, focus on ad revenue quite a bit, and then go back at it. What are your long-term plans for this business? I know you mentioned putting up a couple hundred screens, but what does success look like to you, Mark?
Success is retirement. I mean, that's my goal here. I'm 56. I figure I've got 8 or 10 years, you know, at it. And if I get there sooner than that, right? If I've got the nest egg, you know, layered with some extra feathers, that'd be good. As far as, you know, a dollar figure or a profit level or something like that, I don't have anything specific laid out. You know, at 200 screens, I certainly expect this to be a really strong, good cash flowing business that would be attractive for somebody that wants to buy it, take over, and then the, you know, the Gateway Digital Media Group will have a decent legacy. I'm sure 10 years from now, you know, the technology will have evolved again. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't, you know, but I'm sure that, you know, if we, as long as, you know, Encompass stays in their leadership position in the industry, my intention would be to keep up with that and make sure that the company is in a position to continue to capitalize on that growth. Because the Metro East here, it feels like it's just now embracing this concept, digital marketing and so forth. I mean, there's just not a lot of experience with it throughout my territory. And so that's that's good. It's virgin territory. It's virgin soil. So
I love that answer. And so if you're listening to this in the year 2034, Mark's ready to you know, sell you his 200 screen terabit screen network and give him a call. And no, but in all seriousness, yeah. And in terms of adapting to technology, that's something we'll always continue to do. Like you were saying with the digital marketing products and services, that's still relatively new to Encompass. It's been a few years now in the making, but even on a month-to-month basis, they're constantly tweaking, getting better and better and better. But with it, when it comes to the screens, we as in Encompass, I wasn't with the company during this time, but began in 2008. They were shipping out full TVs attached with this massive machine. It looks like a router or something on the back of it instead of what we're using now. They had antennas to get signal. So obviously these days we don't do that. And businesses, Wi-Fi has become so strong and their internet has become so strong that that's not even something that we have to worry about these days. But it will continue to evolve. I mean, tech is evolving by the day. It's crazy what's going on out there. So that's something that will evolve over time. So it'll even be cool to catch up, you know, years from now and say, remember when we're doing this, what we're doing now. So anyway, I love where your head's at, Mark. I can't thank you enough for coming on and explaining and sharing your story and your strategies and things like that. I think anyone listening can take quite a bit away from this podcast. And so once again, congrats to you, Mark. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it. It was good chatting with you today.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Boards. I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is hosted by myself and produced alongside Haley Burt. The music is composed by Rocket Jr. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, and please leave us a review if you like what you hear. On behalf of our entire Beyond the Boards team, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time as we continue to explore the fascinating world of digital out-of-home advertising.